welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, good morning. Today's a really special day for our community. A bunch of us were down at the river, and six people were baptized, which was awesome. And we're going to hear from three of those people after some teaching. We heard from three others in the 9 o'clock service, so we're excited to hear from them. It's also a really special day because our church plant, City Lights, in Burnaby, Vancouver, have been having church services on Sunday evenings now. And tonight they have a baptismal service, and they're baptizing the first two people ever in their community, which is really, really cool. Two people who have just come to faith, and they've been part of the church plant and journeying along for a few months or a year, I think. And now they are choosing to be baptized, which is really, really exciting. So a few of us are going to head out there. If you want to be a part of that, if you've invested in the City Lights community already, whether it be with the Boundary Road building or you've just been praying or you're interested, I invite you to come along. There's a barbecue at 5:30, and you can go to the website, citylightschurch.ca, for the instructions on how to get there and any more information that you want. I believe the 6:30 service is right after the barbecue, and then there's baptisms after that. I was chatting with some of the people on their leadership team last night, just texting with them, and they're actually going to be baptizing in Trout Lake in Burnaby. And so a few of you are laughing because you know Trout Lake. And the Fraser River, where we just were, you know, it's not like, doesn't look like the cleanest river, but at least it's moving water. Trout Lake is legitimately a little bit sketchy. One of them said, yeah, sometimes once a year they'll actually shut it down because it gets too polluted. And so I was texting with Brett about that, who's the lead church planter out there. And he's like, it's a good lesson for baptism. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to follow Jesus, so we're going to Trout Lake. And they're excited about that. Anyway, we'd love to have you join and celebrate with them. It'd be great to pack that building out and party with them for that. Before we hear from some of the people who are sharing about baptism this morning and their journey and their choice to follow Jesus, we thought we'd ask why baptism. It's a good opportunity every now and then in our church to look at some of the practices that we hold tightly to as Christians and ask, why do we do this in the first place? I've had a lot of conversations with many different people about baptism over the years, and it seems that people are on different ends of the spectrum or within that spectrum. Some people view baptism as a stale ritual. They see it as something that has been done over and over and over again in their life. Perhaps they've grown up in church or in a Christian setting, and so they've seen dozens of them. And over time, they know that it's important, but they're not really sure because they've seen it so often. Because it's a ritual, and often accompanying rituals is repetition, sometimes the familiarity of baptism can sometimes mean that it begins to lack significance or meaning. Just because we see it so much, it's so common, it's not a rarity, so it loses its kind of specialness, where that isn't really the case at all. So that's one side of the spectrum, is it's this stale ritual that we do, we don't know why, it just happens a lot. And for those of us that have grown up in church, it's just a common thing. Some other people are on the other side of the spectrum, where they look at baptism as being this new, bizarre, maybe even scary event. And this perspective is hard to argue with, to be honest with you, because it is a bizarre, rather dramatic event. And it's been considered that for many, many centuries. And to someone who may not understand baptism, it might seem outrageously radical or strange, like an induction to a group of people that are a little bit out to lunch. What are we doing in the water? This is bizarre. And so it's intimidating to some, and they'd rather not get involved in it, even if they claim to be Christian. It's a risky and it's a bold practice. So I've had many of these conversations with people on either side of the scale and everywhere in between, from people who've seen dozens of baptisms and it's grown unimpressive to them, and people who are quite honestly freaked out by it. What I've come to realize, though, after many of these conversations, is that some of us don't actually have a good understanding of what baptism is or why we practice it within the church. And this leaves us either uninspired concerning it or overly wary of it as a Christian practice. And this, to me, is a terrible shame, because baptism is a rich and ancient tradition that's been rooted in the scriptures and handed down generation after generation. It was practiced by Jesus. It was practiced by the first Christians. And there's a reason that we've held on to it today. And so as baptism remains today, despite our frequent misunderstanding of it, it is a dramatic expression of the entire Jesus message and experience, all wrapped up in one moment. It's a dramatic expression of the entire Jesus message and experience, all wrapped up in one moment. And what many Christians have discovered over the centuries is that as they've understood baptism, they understand their faith, or have a more accurate grasp of their faith as they walk through it. Because baptism is a foundational practice that betrays a foundational understanding of our grasp of the gospel. It's basic, it's foundation, and it's there for a reason. So why is it there? The first Christians practiced baptism constantly. It was something they did all the time. It helped them understand and express their new lives or their new reality. They practiced baptism and they believed that it should go hand in hand with the beginning of their new life. So they took the words of Jesus as taught by his followers in Matthew 28 quite literally, and they did. They went out into all the world and they called people in repentance to turn from their sin and to follow Jesus and to be baptized in water. So baptism for them in the first century was a clear demonstration of the turnaround that their lives had seen. And the new life that they had received was represented within baptism. They were recognizing through baptism that something new, something different, something peculiar, something important had happened to them. Now, they honored baptism and they practiced it constantly, but they didn't believe that baptism and salvation were synonymous. They didn't believe that in order to be made clean or right with God, that you must be baptized. They just understood, and hear this, that they accepted and were experiencing a new reality, something important. And that reality merited a dramatic expression or accompanying experience, and that was baptism. They had experienced something, and that experience merited this dramatic expression of baptism. And so they practiced it constantly. The message of Jesus is dynamic and life-changing and transformative. And so if this is the most important person in our lives, if this is the most important and dynamic relationship that we have, if Jesus is everything, if he is the center, does the beginning and the recognizing of the beginning of that life not merit some kind of bold action? That's how they considered it. In the face of the accepted message, the first Christians were itching to express and identify with Jesus, the person who had vividly and powerfully transformed their lives. So in baptism, we find great significance. We also find great symbolism. And so we're going to walk a little bit through that symbolism together to get an understanding of why it functions the way that it does. The first picture that we see in baptism is death and resurrection. And this is found all over the New Testament. So when people are lowered into the water, we remember that Christ died and he covered our sins in that. When they come back up out of the water, we remember that Christ is alive, that he rose again in victory, giving us new life and hope. So we remember that our old selves, our sin, our brokenness has died. And we come out of the water, remember that we are new creations. We are different than we were before, that God has done something transformative in our lives, and that is shown through going under the water and coming up. This idea of water was also incredibly important for the first Christians. As water is important for us today, water is key for humanity. It's key for all life on earth. And so water was and still is a symbol today of life and hope. It's also a symbol of cleansing and regeneration and recreation. And that stems all the way back to the story we have in Genesis of Noah's Ark. This picture of when the water covers the earth, cleansing the earth, and new life springing up from that. And so it's found in the scriptures, rooted in the Old Testament, and seen all the way through the new. Death and resurrection, water going down and coming up. As the water rushed over the bodies of these sort of first century Christians, bodies who were probably caked in Near Eastern dirt and mud and grime, they remembered that as that dirt was washed off, that Christ had washed off the dirt and the grime and the sin and the brokenness in their lives prior to that event. So we see in the scriptures this picture of full immersion baptism, and every explicit expression of baptism that we have recorded in the New Testament is that of a willing person being fully immersed in water. And that means that they understood the choice to follow Jesus, were fully lowered into the water, and lifted out again. Now, there are other Christian traditions that practice infant sprinkling and other practices like that, but Living Waters practices full immersion baptism because that's simply what we see in the New Testament. There aren't examples of that in the New Testament, of infant sprinkling. There is always this full immersion adult decision to follow Christ, and baptism is connected deeply to that. So that's simply what we practice. Baptism for the first Christians also spoke of celebration. It spoke of celebration. It was a chance to be excited. It was a chance to party. Although it was this serious and deep expression, it was also this thing that brought incredible joy in their community. They loved to celebrate, the first Christians, and the hallmark of their community, as we see through all the letters, even from Paul in the New Testament, is joy. Joy is key. They loved to eat together. They loved to share communion. They loved to provide for each other, and they loved to celebrate with their friends and their family members. And when somebody became a Christian in their community, when somebody experienced Jesus, they thought that was worth celebrating. So they did that through feasting. They did that through baptism. They did that by inviting each other to come together into each other's homes, and they partied it up. So celebration is absolutely key for them. And as you can imagine, a new and a budding faith at that time in the first century, it was difficult to be a Christian. There was a lot of oppression. There was a lot of persecution. They were strange people. And so when somebody identified with them and said, "No, I've experienced this power as well," that for them was deeply encouraging. And I would argue that's still encouraging for us today. When somebody says, "You know what? The Jesus that you've talked about that's transformed your life has transformed mine as well. And that is worth celebrating." So this also meant that baptism was important to be recognized within community, practiced within the community. It was important to share this event with a group of people that identified with Jesus. First of all, because, many Christians in the first century weren't totally identifiable until they had been baptized. We read in the book of Acts, even, that Jesus' immediate followers, sort of the 11 or 12 men, were concerned about the apostle Paul when he first wanted to become a part of their community, because they weren't sure, because he was persecuting them prior, if he was actually a Christian. Where the first Christians found was that baptism was a way of saying, that person is publicly standing up and doing this dramatic thing. They are with us. So it's this way for someone to outwardly, intentionally choose to identify with Christ. So that was important for them, and I believe it's important for us. Secondly, there was also this deep point of encouragement and joy for all the Christians who were gathered there. God was working. God was using them. He was transforming their communities with the message of Jesus, and this needed to be shared with everybody. It's not something that should be hidden away. It's something that was a point of encouragement for everyone. And as you find in the New Testament over and over and over again, it is this idea of encourage each other, love each other, encourage each other, love each other, because we need it. It's not easy to follow Jesus all the time in the context we find ourselves in. So anytime we can encourage each other, let's do it. And baptism in community is a way we can do that together. So in front of people, baptism was a key part of community. Are you still with me? I know I'm motoring, but I want to leave lots of time so that we can hear from our people who have been baptized this morning, because their stories are really important to us. But why, on a really fundamental level, why baptism? Why would God choose baptism? Why not something else? We can see that it's important and it's probably beneficial, but what's the big idea? Why is this church so into baptism? Why do pastors always talk about it and encourage you to get into it and talk? Do you give sermons even on it on a whole Sunday? What is the purpose of it? Why is it so key? First of all, I think we need to remember that baptism is instructed and commanded, rather, by Jesus in Matthew 28. It's part of the Great Commission. Go out and call people to God, Jesus says, and then baptize them in my name. And that's exactly what the first Christians did. So baptism, as we understand it in Matthew 28, is a command from Jesus. And perhaps it's helpful for us in our context today to get a better understanding of the fact that God is all-powerful. He is our Father. He has all the authority in heaven and earth. And authority is not exactly one of our favorite topics in the West. We're not really huge on, yeah, I love coming under authority. Like, that's not your favorite thing to do. If anything, we celebrate people who, like, push back on authority in their own person. They're rebels. But we need to understand authority well if we are to be good followers of Jesus. As God is our Father, and Jesus says, be baptized, he gives that command. First of all, just to say, we shouldn't need a reason. It's good to ask why and to understand and to understand the significance. But just the fact that Jesus says, do it, we should respond and say yes. So as God is our Father, perhaps it's helpful for us to understand that authority figure. When a parent instructs a child to go to bed or to eat their carrots, oftentimes a child will say, why? And a parent will respond with, because I said so, right? Between the child and the parent, there is this fundamental understanding of authority and where it lies. At least most parents hope so. Sometimes that's debatable within some families that you look at. Not being judged, just saying. Sometimes it's like, well, I'm not too sure in this moment who's boss. But in a healthy, loving child-parent relationship, the child should take the parent at their word and obey simply on principle, because that's where the authority lies. But as every good parent knows, they're not just instructing the child to go to bed just for the sake of it, or just to exercise their authority. They instruct the child to go to bed because they know what's best for them, what's going to come from going to bed on time. They can see further into the future than the child can, and they know that if they get a good rest, they're going to have a better day tomorrow. This leads us to the second reason for baptism and why we do it, and that is asking ourselves the question, why does God instruct baptism? What is God trying to teach us through baptism? What is he trying to teach us through baptism? Baptism, whether we've been following Jesus for a while or if we've just become a Christian, is a lesson in obedience. Here is this risky, dramatic act that God places before us. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to ignore him? Will we excuse ourselves from obedience, believing that we are the exception in this case? If we obey God in baptism, what foundation are we laying for our lives in our Christian walk? What lessons are we learning? I would argue we're learning lessons, first of all, of obedience and trust. But how about celebration? When many of us are so weighed down with anxiety and worry and concern and stress, I believe that the church, that our community is here to learn how to celebrate and to bring points of hope and joy and life into the context that we live in. And if we're not able to celebrate here, then I don't know if we're going to be able to celebrate out there. So how about celebration? How about the lesson that many Christians miss, the value of community and a welcoming family? the value of remembering that there is a group of people that care about you, a group of people that is there for you, cheering you on, that are ready at your beck and call for when you have a need. So many Christians live isolated. Baptism reminds us that you're not isolated. You're part of something bigger, and it's vibrant, and it's for you. How about the importance of learning how to publicly and personally share your faith? The importance of clearly identifying with Jesus. Might this possibly serve us well in the rest of our lives with Christ? If we are unable to publicly share that we are a Christ follower in a safe, natural environment where people are cheering you on, do we expect to be able to do that in a harsher climate once we walk out of these doors? And so here's a wonderful opportunity to identify with Jesus, to learn how to tell your story, and to recognize that your story is important, that your story matters, and it actually holds power. So perhaps baptism is such a key part of our faith for fundamental reasons. It teaches us in a simple, practical way that the only way to follow Jesus is in humble obedience, and that is a good thing. If we can learn that lesson at the beginning of our Christian lives or partway through our Christian lives, that's going to serve us really, really well. I am not in control, God. I will do what you call me to do no matter what, even if that's uncomfortable and difficult, even if that means that you're calling me to celebrate when I don't feel like celebrating. And so baptism for us, I believe at Living Waters, as we've experienced today and as we're going to hear some of these stories, in baptism, we understand the gospel. People aren't baptized unless they get it, unless they can show us that they get it, that they understand that Christ has died for them, that they are new creations, and they are walking forward in that. So in baptism, they understand our faith. In baptism, we experience the gospel. We tangibly feel it. You can ask the girls after they share what it felt like to be in the Fraser River down there. I still have mud in my toenails from baptizing Janica. They feel it. You sense it. As the water rushes over your body, you remember what Jesus has done inside. So baptism, we understand the gospel. We experience the gospel. But in baptism, we also express the gospel. We understand it. We experience it for ourselves. But then we're also part of helping other people experience it, helping other people realize how important it is, and being a part of God's work in moving his kingdom forward as we share our stories and as we identify with him in a really simple way. Understand, experience, and express. And if we can do that together in baptism, it's going to set a great foundation for the rest of our Christian walk. So that's why we believe baptism is so important. I hope that today you are encouraged by a beautiful and powerful ritual that's been passed down through the centuries by generation after generation. And so we are so proud today to have been a part of it, and we're happy that you are here as well to share in it. Next week, we are going to be into Labor Day weekend. Doug is going to be teaching. We're excited about that. That week following, we move into a three-week series called Community. And after that, we're going to spend 3 weeks in the book of Haggai. So that's where we're going to be going into fall, and we hope that you are going to be a part of the community during the fall. Our 6:30 service launches on the 9th of September. There's a barbecue before that, and we are expecting to grow again. So if 6:30 is a good fit for you, we'd love to see you there. Why don't we stand as we close the service in prayer together? Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for what you have done in us. Thank you for the flesh and blood examples that we have standing before us today of transformation and hope and life. Lord, as we've seen the dark places that these people have come from and the light that they now live in, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you because of what you've done in them. And we thank you because it reminds us of what you've done in us. And Jesus, today, if in any way we feel out of sorts, if any way we feel like we're lacking a foundation, pray that you would remind us of your constancy and of your faithfulness. And Jesus, I pray for people who are in the room today who might not be in relationship with you yet, and I pray that you would continue to draw them to yourself. God, I pray wherever we are, just human beings in a room, I pray that we would be open to you and your work in us. And I pray that you continue to grow us, and as Christine said, to just found us in who you are and complete the good work that you have started in us. So we praise you and thank you for this day, Jesus, and pray that you'd help us to celebrate the rest of the day well. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. If you want to go to City Lights tonight, check out the website, citylightschurch.ca.